This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Totally understand the text string I was on, so I think we will get in a moment to Mike Ryan and Stugatz being in a fantasy draft that's going to take about 2 or 3 days as sports continues to lap ever so gently on our shores. Just basically, we are on our hands and knees crawling towards sports. And Billy and Chris, I can't believe it, but they have found a reason to be excited about the Marlins season after so many betrayals.
Wow.
Stugatz, after Billy has written off this club. Now, Todd Hollinsworth, their broadcaster, is saying the Marlins have a legitimate chance to be World Series champions. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Is Todd Hollinsworth out of his mind?
60-game sprint. I mean, every team has a chance here, Dano.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the original Marlins, and this is our wheelhouse, 90s baseball, the original Marlins, I think, started 30-31. Now, they ended up losing about 100 games because those last 100 games really grind down the teams that aren't actually that good. Let's see if we can do this. Can you guys do the whole lineup, the whole opening day lineup for the original Marlins? I don't know how many games they lost, but they lost a ton of games. But they started 30-31, which is the only argument, basically the only argument any baseball team can make is why not us? It's got to be somebody.
I mean, Charlie Huff was the first pitcher ever for the Marlins, right? Starting pitcher?
That is correct. Charlie Huff, who was a 44-year-old knuckleballer.
Charlie Huff was on the bump behind the plate, number 09, Benito Santiago. Then at first place, we had Orestes Estrada. Shortstop, Walt Weiss. Third base, Dave Magadan. Second base, Brett Barbary. Then in center field, we had Scott Pose before Chuck Carr got there. Left field, I'm assuming, was Jeff Conine. And I don't remember if Junior Felix started in right field or not. Did he start in right field?
And then, of course,
closing the game, Brian Harvey. Oh.
How about that?
I can't remember what I had for dinner last night.
Good job, Billy.
But we can. I feel like the whole show could have done that, including the Scott Pose, Chuck Carr change, because you kind of remember there are certain things that you remember from your childhood if you're a sports fan, and stuff like that is one of them. How old were you guys with that 93 team? You guys were like 6 and 7 and 8 years old, weren't you? Oh, Tony's saying he was 2 years old. Tony couldn't have named any of those players. He didn't know anything about no Scott Pose beating out Chuck Carr during spring training for that original center field job.
I think I was 4 or 5. I think it was 5 at the time. Yeah. Oh, good times, huh?
So what's the matter with you guys today? I can't believe after all the betrayals, after all the stupidity, after the fact that they have been run like a business and a poorly run business for a long time, that you guys are right back in. Chris, you're right back in on the Marlins.
I felt alive last night, Dan. Mm-hmm. 8-1 in the eighth inning. We don't have to get into the fact that the bullpen blew the lead and they ended up losing, but that's irrelevant. They were up 8-1. Even them blowing that lead, I felt alive. I was like, the Marlins, they're back. We're up. We're down. It's a roller coaster. Oh, I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
Let me ask you guys. Let me ask you guys something in terms of the viewing experience, because what I've been told by people who know about these things, because it's Disney, because it's ESPN, because it's giant rights holders, because it's the NBA, that this televised product is actually going to be something that is stimulating to you, that they're going to be a little progressive about it. It's not going to quite just be guys on a court that feels like a scrimmage court or a practice court. Baseball, though, can't do all that much, can it? Baseball is good with advanced media, but is baseball going to do very much in the way of graphics and, sprucing up its product visually with no fans?
Oh, Dan. Baseball was electric yesterday. Were you watching? Dan,
no,
were you watching yesterday?
No.
What? Why? What?
I'm watching spring training baseball.
No.
It's July.
It's summer camp. Yeah, come on, Dan. Get with it. Anyways, listen, it was great. I have a couple things that we can talk about here. I have ways because yesterday we realized baseball, not entirely that different when there's no crowd there. But I have solutions visually of how to make it seem more like a regular baseball game, right? Now, yesterday I was watching the Marlins and the Braves, and the crowd was empty, right? And it was raining, and I was like, please, God, don't let there be a rain delay. That would be the ultimate thing that would happen here is a rain delay, right? There was no rain delay. But it made me think, when it's raining, baseball stadiums are pretty much empty anyways. So what I'm thinking is, moving forward, what every team should do is they should play in a light rain. They get like those machines that Hollywood has to make rain, and they just put a couple dummies out in the outfield with ponchos, and it will look like any baseball game ever. It'll just be like five or six idiots out in the crowd with ponchos and rain, and it will be perfectly normal. Now, I know what you're thinking. How else can we make this better? Good question, Dan, because what they were doing yesterday, you know what 2020 is teaching us? How many Minute Maids there are out there? How many people getting lemons and turning it into lemonade?
Uh-huh.
What they did, they were pumping in crowd noises, and you couldn't really tell that there was no crowd because of what they were doing. Now, some of the noises that were missing, the vendors, right? So this is what I'm thinking, and I'd like to reach out to our audience with the, you know, what is this, the biggest show in the history of the world ever history? So with that audience and that base, this is what I think we should do. I think we should solicit fans sending us noises that happen in the stands that they don't normally have. The vendors, primarily the vendors, but also maybe like chants that they do. No like controversial ones, please leave those out. And I'm thinking what we do is we can make a collection and we can make a 3-hour recording and we could put it out as a mystery crate one day. And then what we could do is you can, at home, you can just play that playing from like your Google speaker or whatever while you're watching the game, and it'll be like you're at the game. You'll get the crowd noise, 3-hour recording. I was thinking we could reach out to some stadiums, have stadiums give us recipes of some of their food. It's going to be great. And you know who brought it yesterday? We can get to this later. Todd Hollinsworth brought it yesterday. He was talking about absolutely everything. How many popsicles he has a day while he's been at home, everything. He was saying how he wanted the popsicles there. They told him at one point, Paul Severino said, Todd, you got to calm down. And he said, I'm not calming down this season.
Nope.
It's a 60-game sprint. Nothing's holding me back. He even got to work yesterday early. Dan, what an enjoyable viewing experience yesterday for the Marlins. And wow, what a season we're in for.
Do you realize how limited your future is in this business when the only thing that we can get you excited about is Marlins baseball and MTV's challenge? Like, these are the, do you realize you need to broaden the things that you get excited about? You need to make it a little bit wider so that you can cast a wider career net.
Ah, what did you think about that mystery crate idea, huh? Where we have basically a 3-hour stadium recording and we just release that so the fans can
get right
the
on
games.
That. Go ahead and make that. It's all yours. It's all right, your so proprietary just domain. Go ahead and make a 3-hour mystery crate of just fan noises. Should they send the audio files over to your giveaway email?
No. Don't do that.
Oh, the giveaway email.
Just tweet it at us. You could at me, at Billy Gore, at Lebatard Show, and then we should get a hashtag going. What should it be? Hashtag stadium sounds. So just tag us with a recording of something, hashtag stadium sounds, and then we'll put it together. And then hopefully next week we can put that out so everybody can enjoy baseball games together. This is a baseball specific one. We can move on to the different sports when the other sports come back.
That original Marlins team finished 64-98. Good first half, though. You were right. 37-50. And not bad for your first season.
First of all, Billy, as a baseball snob, don't baseball people get mad when you call them stadiums instead of ballparks? I thought that they got upset about that sort of thing.
You know what, Dan? I'm not here for this today. I'm not going to have you dividing us. This is a time for unity and bringing the people together. There's been a lot going on in 2020, and we don't need division over the stadium ballpark debate right now, all right? Stadiums, ballparks, whatever it is, just send us your sounds.
You know what? That's a totally fair point, Billy, and it would have a little more weight behind it if you guys all as a group weren't so eager to correct me saying spring training by making it summer camp. Like, all of you leaned into the Zoom and were like, no, Dan, no, it's not spring training. It is summer camp. Call it summer camp.
Fair. We're here for you. You know, we don't want you to sound silly.
Did you say somebody was doing 12 hours of burpees? 12 hours of burpees.
Yes. 5,297 burpees, squat thrusts where they stand in between repetitions in 12 hours.
Good God.
Yeah.
So if you were listening last segment, you know that Stugatz loves to take a popular opinion. It's an easy opinion. It's one of his favorite things. One of my favorite things is to watch Stugatz as he launches one of these easy stance missiles. Do we have easy stance imaging, Mike? Did we ever make any imaging for that? Where he basically cups a hand to his ear to get celebrated by the audience for telling, you know, athletes to do things like just give their money over to the fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, Malcolm Brogdon got coronavirus, Stugatz, while he was protesting. He's someone who believes in helping others, thinks it's a bigger thing than basketball. He is presently working on causes that include social reform, education, and bringing water to Africa. But you also want him to get better testing for the people of Orlando when it comes to the coronavirus. Faster testing. Malcolm Brogdon should be taking care of that as well. He should do more.
I think testing is important. By the time you get a test back 14 days later, you've wondered if you've contracted the virus 14 more times. I think it's a big problem in terms of controlling this thing moving forward, and I am just looking to the leagues to help. I'm not saying fund the entire thing. I am looking for the leagues to raise money and help. That's
it. All right, and so what I would say to you on this front, because I know what happens here, okay? In this particular business, whenever someone makes the argument, take money away from the athletes or the leagues, everyone applauds. It's the thing to do. Just, right. Yes, take money from them and give it to me. I'm just wondering what country you think you live in that money doesn't bring all sorts of advantages. Because if you'd prefer better health care, Canada can help you out as a different country to live in when it comes to equal health care. Of course, I would say to anyone listening, everyone should have the same access to health care. But what world are you living in? It ain't this one. This ain't the country you're like. What world are you living in? The people with money are the ones with the better access to health care. Furthermore, what I would say to you, Stugatz, is basketball is a particularly interesting subject because we don't deserve sports to return right now. But how are we fixing it? By just throwing every conceivable amount of money into Orlando, building a bubble for $150 million. That is the expense account that executives are spilling over the bar on this one because they're trying to rescue billions of dollars in an economy. So damn straight we're going to keep those people healthy. It's a terrible look. It's a terrible look that they get all the access to testing as poor people don't get the access to testing. But that's the country you live in. Money wins. Like, that's the. How many more examples would you want of what we're presently living in right now? When the wealth gap continues to get bigger and bigger, the greatest gifts that come from having something like a radio show, you've heard me say this before, it's not my quote, it's Kornheiser. Kornheiser says you get good tables at a restaurant and you could destroy your enemies. That's the reason to have a radio show. I would add another one. You can get your doctors on the phone. You could just pick up the phone and call your doctors and that access.
I did. I called my doctor. He told me to go to a local park, not to his office. I did. It took 14 days to get a result. I mean,
I bet you that doesn't happen to Mike Greenberg.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
A annual tradition around these parts. Dan asking if we have easy stance alert imaging and me reminding him and the audience why it's not a regular part of our canon because it is so unimpressive.
Easy stance, man.
That's it.
I keep thinking it'll get better, and it doesn't.
I can add a little flair to it. You ready?
Well, I've been waiting for years for some flair to be added to it.
Some flair.
Easy stance, man.
What are you hoping? That Mike's updated some of these, improved some of
them? Just never been fully invested in Easy Stance Man getting off the ground, and you can tell by the production.
It just took a Saturday game.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need a sound for everything. You could just say it's an easy stance. We'll do Zach Lowe at 11 a.m., by the way.
Tesla has reached $150 billion in market cap valuation, triggering a $2 billion bonus for Elon Musk.
Wow. Really? All that started happening the second the shareholders voted him off the board, right? I believe so. How much money did he get?
He passed Warren Buffett on the wealthiest man list. $2.1 billion bonus.
Hmm. He should help out with the testing in certain neighborhoods.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Zach Lowe going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN+, Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NFLPA says that 59 players have tested positive for COVID-19. That number is up from 72 in the union's July 10th report. Clippers guard Patrick Beverley left Orlando on Tuesday night to address an emergency personal matter, and he intends to rejoin the team in the future. That's why I'm keeping my eye on this thing, Dan. One second Beverly's there, next second Beverly's not there. And finally, a team of Japanese doctors shared details of the case of a woman suffering throat irritation who actually had a live worm inside her tonsil. The woman complained about the throat irritation 5 days after eating sashimi. When she came into the hospital, the medical team discovered a 1.5-inch black worm alive and living inside of her tonsil. The worm was removed using tweezers. Ugh. Today on ESPN Daily, ahead of Saturday's WNBA tip-off, ESPN's LaChyna Robinson has her inside scoop on the W bubble. Who's in, who's out, and why? Plus, what to expect on the court. That's ESPN Daily. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So MLS and the NBA are right near each other. Mike Ryan was just telling me, and again, the proof that money is access. MLS players, if they want an MRI machine, they need to go to the local hospital. The NBA is not sharing them their MRI machine. So they have to leave the bubble, and then they have to quarantine for 3 days because the NBA doesn't want anyone using their MRI machine.
Well, looks like Mike's starting to come around. How about that?
So Zach Lowe is with us now. Lowe Post Podcast, if you want your playoff basketball covered well. We do a pretty good time, pretty good job around here covering basketball with an authority, with a series of authorities during this particular time, and Zach Lowe is at the top of the list. So let's. Why don't you throw your theory at Zach Lowe first? Your cockamamie theory. Go ahead and just float this theory of yours that would be better. Just make it short, please.
The one where I'm keeping an eye on the bubble, or the one with the Leafs?
Whichever one. Okay. Just pick one and make it short. Talk quickly.
Zach, I am keeping an eye on this NBA bubble, on this NBA playoff, because to me, I'm not certain yet if this is going to feel like winning an NBA championship. Just because 1 second Beverly's there, the next second he's gone. There's no going on the road to win a big game six, you know, with 30,000 screaming fans. And therefore, I'm going to keep a very close eye on the legitimacy
of this NBA final. Is this you making it a quick
question?
I'm
just wondering if Zach feels the same way as a historian of the game, maybe the best we have. Are you viewing this as a traditional NBA title?
I still am hopeful. I've said from the beginning that all the asterisks talk, and there's been a lot of it, and I get why, for all the reasons you just said. And yeah, all these people leaving and coming back is going to create some timing issues. But I also feel like, you know, we may get past the first round into the second round, and like the public interest may be so, so immense because no one has anything else to watch, that we may look at this in the end as like, it's kind of a badge of honor to go neutral site, no fans, living in a bubble, no or limited family around you, and come out after a 4-month layoff and win the championship. It's going to be weird. It's going to be different. And yeah, if there's an outbreak, if people are leaving and quarantining and the whole thing gets screwy, yeah, there's going to be an asterisk. That's unavoidable. But if they can keep it kind of the way it's running now, I think there's a decent chance we come out and this becomes a championship to be proud of. Different, but to be proud of.
But fair to say, it's something you're keeping an eye on, right? I mean,
oh, a follow-up.
Well, it's my job. Yeah. It's my job to keep an eye on it.
Yep. And you do a great job of it. Yep.
Are you in the bubble? Are you going to be in the bubble?
I am, as of now, not in the bubble. I am at home with my family, and I will look into maybe going to the bubble later, but I am not in the bubble.
Oh, you're keeping an eye on the bubble then. Stugatz also says it's a bad look that the NBA is getting all this access to testing while people all over Florida die without access to testing.
I didn't say
I mean,
I don't disagree. I mean, I think honestly, if right now the NBA just had zero positive tests in this round of testing, right? If they could keep that under control, I think their single biggest obstacle to seeing this way through completion is if that crisis that you just mentioned gets so bad that just from a PR and ethical stance, it becomes untenable for the NBA to keep going. But again, that's if they can keep this bubble intact, and obviously someone could still leave and come back with the virus, or guests are going to come in after the first round. So that's up for debate, too.
Where's that line? Where are you putting the line where it would get so bad in America or in Florida, such a bad look that the NBA, after pouring all of this money into this, says, never mind?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know where the exact line is. I mean, I keep reading people are waiting. What are people waiting in Florida now? 6-7 days is what the latest I've read, sometimes a little bit longer, sometimes a little bit shorter. I honestly think it will probably take public pressure from medical officials saying, okay, let's look deeper at how the NBA is getting these tests. Are they taking them from people? Right now, there's not agreement. USA Today just wrote a great story about this. There's not agreement among epidemiologists and other experts that this is really an issue yet because of how the NBA is getting its tests, that they are not taking them necessarily from the general public. Others are saying, well, there are still limited supplies and materials and all that. So I think it would take a little bit more public consensus from medical experts.
What do you make, Zach Lowe, again, the Low Post podcast? You want to check it out to get to all your basketball information, of James Harden saying to those who downplay his game, quote, maybe when I'm retired, maybe when I'm done, maybe when I'm gone, you all will understand. He feels criminally underappreciated. Because none of us like to watch that style of basketball.
I get where he's coming from in that I don't think it's insane. I'm not necessarily saying I agree with it, but I don't think it's insane to make the argument that he's the greatest offensive player ever. His step back three is an absolutely revolutionary shot that completely changed the entire NBA and completely changed the Rockets. That said, you know, you guys tell me, what is James Harden's signature playoff moment? Signature playoff positive moment. Right now, it's probably 2012 against the Spurs when he was still in Oklahoma City. For whatever reason, he's had a couple of bad moments with Houston. And like the way the series have gone, the way the games, a lot of Rockets games in the playoffs have been blowouts either way. Like he just doesn't have a moment in the postseason, a series, a game, a shot in Houston. And I think to be really appreciated, And by the way, he's got a couple of bad ones. We all remember that meltdown against the Spurs. To be really appreciated, he's going to have some moments in big, 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 big games that we all remember.
Is there a way at all to quantify how much better LeBron's about to be because he's never entered a postseason with 4 months of rest?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess you could look at. You know, we have these statistics for how fast players move and cut, and those statistics tend to be a lot sort of faster and more explosive at the beginning of seasons when guys don't have that wear and tear. So you could look at that. But I think you could ask that same question about Kawhi Leonard, who obviously is sort of the poster guy for load management and has to be sort of treated a different way throughout the whole season to make it through the NBA Finals. Well, now he's got 4 months off too, and he's on a team that's, to me, just as good, if not better, than the Lakers.
Zach, is there a team in this environment that was playing well towards the end, maybe added a piece along the way that we're not aware of because we're paying attention to other stuff, that can, in this bubble, in this playoff in this format, that can make a surprise run through this format?
As for surprise teams, if we're really characterizing surprise, I think the only team that really stands out from that perspective is Philadelphia, just because they've always had the raw talent and size and defense. The chemistry has been a mess. The pieces haven't fit, but they've just revamped their starting lineup. You know, Shake Milton is going to start. Al Horford's going to come off the bench now. Ben Simmons had a back injury when the season stopped. He's healthy now. They're sixth. They're probably going to move up to fourth or fifth. If you're looking for true surprise, I think that team has the talent, if they ever get it together, really, to be a very dangerous team.
Zach, thank you for being on with us. Check out the Low Post podcast at your convenience. It is some good basketball information. Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure, guys. Be safe.
Thanks, Zach.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
You got, there is some news involving Jets owner Woody Johnson that I don't think you're going to like very much. Oh, we're going to get into that in a second. But we've been asking you to support the people who support us. You don't know anything right now about Woody Johnson, correct, Stugatz?
No.
All right, because we've got well, I don't want to get into it just yet. I'm going to read about it because this is just breaking. It's a CNN story, and it looks bad. But let me get more information before I start reading it. I am at a genuine loss, so I will allow Stugatz to choose where we go next here, because we've got a number of different items worth discussing. One, Mike Ryan continues to struggle with the installation of a door as he tries to become unsuccessfully a handyman.
Right.
Two, Billy is said to be a different creature on cruise lines than he is in real life. I want some more details on that. Three, Roy has something for car salesmen. Four, Tony is having an existential midlife crisis at 29 years old. And five, Chris is wondering if you either have to show up to work on Monday after a hypothetical long weekend, having not slept all weekend or having not showered all weekend, which would you choose? So those are the five things on the table. Everyone's got a little something here.
I've done the one without sleep.
Man, that is a tough decision, because you've been teasing Billy Cruise Line. That is a
Billy is shaking his head. Let's start there. Chris, can you please tell me? I'm just done with you installing tactics today. Like, you are taking taking so long to get to anything, and you're just sort of mulling and muttering and bored and already lazy. So I'll just start with Billy. Chris, Billy doesn't want to do this. What have you learned about Cruise Line Billy?
Well, Billy has this reputation on this show of being, you know, sometimes meek, sometimes not being, you know, a big, he's not thought of as a big party guy. But apparently when Billy goes on a cruise, he turns into what he calls Cruise Billy. Now, I like to call this character Billy Cruise, but we haven't really decided yet what his actual name was going to be. But
much
I would
cooler
love
name.
To,
yeah.
I would love to go on a cruise with Billy, because I just want to see him, and he just loosens up, gets the drinks flowing. I just want to see that Billy.
Is that a real depiction of Billy Cruise, or is that like, do you get the all you can? Does Billy Cruise get the all you can drink package?
This is a misrepresentation by Chris Cody based on a local hour conversation we had like 2 weeks ago. And he wants to just, this is similar to like his shopping carts and his flag football thing that he just wants to make happen. So he'll just keep saying these things until they become reality. What I told him was, we were talking about cruises, and I said, I love the cruises where you get a bunch of stops, because I'm not one that likes to have the days at sea. I like to go on a cruise and come back exhausted. Like, I like to go ziplining, and I go parasailing, and I ride ATVs like surfboards dangerously down the street in these little islands, and I'm going like this, and I'm like trying to play it up and ham it up for the cameras or the companies that rent you the ATVs, and I do all these things. And Chris has turned this into something entirely different, where he makes me some sort of deviant of some kind, possibly of a sexual nature. And that's not what's going on here.
Wow. Okay.
Billy
Cruise, a deviant of a sexual nature.
Not at all. Not at all. That's what I'm saying. That's what's not going on. I'm one that climbs waterfalls. I'm one that goes through rainforests. I'm one that does those types of things. Chris has a whole different opinion. There seems to be a real life Cruise Billy and a fictitious Billy Cruise, if you will, and that's the one that Chris wants to exist that doesn't exist.
You would agree that the name Cruise, if you add it to just about any first name, it automatically makes you cooler. Like, if I become Johnny Cruise as opposed to John Wiener, I am infinitely cooler. Danny Cruise is so much cooler than Dan Levitard. Mikey Cruise is so much cooler than Michael Ryan. I mean, Tony Cruise is probably the coolest of all of us. Incredible name.
I know a Danny Cruise.
Thank you, Billy. Excellent contribution, as always.
Billy hit the nail right on the head from the aspect of all this was, I just wanted to get Billy Cruz off the ground. That's like what this was all about.
No, Jose Cruz.
Thank you, Mike. Excellent contribution as well.
I know Tom Cruise.
The more Chris Cody, the more the Codys in general talk, the more disgusting you realize they are as a family and that they don't abide by any social norms. Chris, you're a shopping cart fiend. It's disgusting. You do not clean up after your dog in the way that you should, and your father shampoos his hair in the pool. You guys are, like, both of you should be living together in a trailer. You should never have moved out of that trailer. It should just be you and your disgusting dad.
Dan, this is so rich. I know for a fact that you leaving Publix with a full shopping cart, there is no shot that you are walking that shopping cart all the way back into the grocery store. You are leaving it right near the front of where your car was, and you're letting the
you're wrong.
Guy come get
you're
it.
Wrong. I always tell Mike Ryan to take the cart back.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Do you think if it was Gregory Cruz, you'd be more likely to go to him during a show than Greg Cody?
Look, it's become clearer and clearer. The more that Chris and Greg Cody talk, that we needed them to talk less, because the more they talk, you realize they're disgusting. There haven't been a great many instances like this in celebrity. I remember when Charlie Sheen was going down an addict's crazy public path, shouting at everybody that he was winning while descending into the horror of addiction in a way that scared his family. It was the rare mental illness breakdown that we were able to somehow enjoy, because I guess at the time we didn't have enough understanding of addiction and mental illness to understand that Charlie Sheen was spiraling out of control. Now, the same thing seems to be happening with Kanye West, where his behavior is so odd that it feels like a mental breakdown. And he has spoken to his bipolar issues before. He has also spoken to being off of his meds, and it'll make you manic. And he was already, an egomaniac, narcissist on his meds. But Dave Chappelle went to visit him in Wyoming, Stugatz, and Kanye West was touched by the friendship in that. And I thought it was interesting that Dave Chappelle did that, even as Kanye West put him in this terrible spot where they're on a video together. He basically is just telling him to be funny again and again. And Dave Chappelle can't, like, do that way. Couldn't do it that way, where right. Kanye was just telling him, say something funny, say something light. And Dave Chappelle's like, that's not how I do this.
Right.
But he was uncomfortable because he's there to help a friend who seems to be having a mental breakdown. And I remember seeing Dave Chappelle on Inside the Actors Studio with James Lipton. If you don't remember the show, James Lipton has passed away. But he had a classroom where he asked a lot of artists. He got real creators to sit down in a classroom and talk to his students, and he got the most famous of the famous. And Dave Chappelle sat there one time and talked about what happened with Martin Lawrence, and Martin Lawrence going crazy in the streets of Hollywood with some sort of episode that was very public. And Dave Chappelle framed this as, I know Martin Lawrence to be an exceptionally strong person. What does Hollywood do to these people? What is fame? What is celebrity? How does it contaminate? How does it corrupt where you become this Harvey Weinstein monster where you have so much power that you think you could basically just whip it out and have sex with anybody that you want? Like, what is it about the debauchery of Hollywood and celebrity that makes Dave Chappelle somehow understand what Kanye West is going through and go to Wyoming during a pandemic in order to reach out to Kanye West because he's having a public meltdown that people are really, really enjoying laughing at, Stugatz? Like, I feel for as much as we've evolved on the mental health front, as much as we've evolved on understanding that addiction is a sickness, we haven't evolved that much from what we were watching with Charlie Sheen. because we're doing it again to Kanye West, because it's just easier to laugh at than actually contemplate whatever darkness he's crawling through as a guy who's a billionaire, as a guy who's got, you know, the Kardashian family, has multiple billionaires in it.
Right.
And the world that they've chosen to create, right. That has, these are very strong NBA players like Lamar Odom who end up in that world. And then what happens with the reality elements of that, that ends up spending everybody, like the reality show elements of the fame that contaminate that. Absolutely. Where Kanye West is having, he's having a public mental breakdown, and it's being met with a great deal of laughter.
I didn't realize that his breakdown. Now, listen, I partook in the laughter when Charlie Sheen had his breakdown. We were doing shows, as you pointed out. Part of me, as I get older, regrets doing some of that stuff. Like, Charlie Sheen just announced that he quit cigarettes, and it's been like 2 years, and he's proud of himself, and he's trying to become a better person as he gets older. And I remember laughing at him while he was crumbling, and now, armed with some age and maybe some perspective, I regret doing that. I didn't realize people were actually laughing at Kanye West. That is the case. Like, there is laughter. People are enjoying his meltdown.
Well, his behavior, here's what's happening here, and it's not hard to understand. This person was and is an ego monster, but he was and is an ego monster who now seems to have been very public with his vulnerabilities on how it is that he's fighting his mind. What I have found very often with people who have these monster egos, to God, it's not always, but very often, is it's just hardened shell for some actual insecurities. Who knows what Kanye West's daily life is like?
Right.
It must be pretty dark. It's wealthy, but it must be pretty dark if you're reading some of these things and you have a personality where you are fighting your mind in front of all of us. And the reaction of us as you try to explain yourself is largely to laugh at you, because we love a good comeuppance. We love to have ego humbled, and we love to mock the plight of celebrities. So those things run together. And Kanye West ends up being less human. He just becomes a cartoon. He becomes a cartoon celebrity who's not in any kind of pain. He's just something that exists to mock because he's throwing it all away.
I think a lot of people don't understand mental illness. They don't understand the breakdown that can come and result from mental illness, regardless of the amount of wealth you have. And I think people on the outside of this story would say, hey, you're Kanye West. You were an ego monster. You weren't terribly nice on the way up, and now you're having this mental breakdown. You have resources that I wish I had. You had money that I wish I had. Go get help. Go fix it.
Well, but it is harder than that. I can tell you this, having actually known a good amount of bipolar behavior, that if you're not on your meds, it becomes an insanity. It becomes, if you do not take medication for bipolar disorder, it can become something that ravages you and swallows you, and nothing else ends up mattering other than your pain. And you can't be off your meds. Like, it's, you're on the cusp of schizophrenia there. Like, when you start getting diagnosed with, you know, some of these things, the things that they go through when they go to manic depressive, bipolar, and schizophrenia, the testing that they do to find out what that is, if you are not medicated with lithium or with something else, something stronger, what you end up have happening is a person who is totally out of control, who, because the nature of bipolar is you suffer these lows that you cannot get out from under, but you also have these incredible manic highs where you are simply feeling like you are bulletproof and you're the only one in the world who has sense. Now imagine giving that to an egomaniac. Imagine giving that to a guy who's already got a substantive ego, and now make him somebody who thinks he's got it all figured out and he knows something, that he's not the one who's crazy. It's the rest of the world that's crazy. Where do you set the over-under, Mike? Stugatz does not get to set these things. You set it at what number?
Give you an opportunity for a push. 3.
All right. So Bike for Humanity.
I once had Bill Walton on Stupidity. I didn't ask him a single question. He went on for 42 minutes. I
mean, he's the best.
Yep.
Bike for Humanity 2 takes place this Saturday, July 25th. If you want more information, you go to bikeforhumanity.com. This is very exciting. We're always very excited when Bill Walton makes an appearance on the show. So, Bill, we begin in the usual place. How is life, sir? Is it grandiose and psychedelic?
We are working on that. We are planning on the miracle. We are seeking shelter from the storm. We are listening to Electric on the Eel as we approach the days between in the summertime here. And we are working feverishly. We're doing everything we can to make it happen. We are trying to figure out the way to make the different world better, to take the challenges that we have and turn those into a privileged opportunity, to find a new path forward, and then to do what's never been done before. So other than that, everything is fantastic, and we're having a really solid run toward Bike for Humanity 2, brought back by popular demand.
These are crazy, crazy times.
I was listening and studying Beethoven the other day. And there was a very poignant scene at the end of Hershey Felder's program. And Beethoven was going to kill himself at one point in his 20s, as I was going to kill myself, I'm going to say 11, 12 years ago. And I didn't, but Beethoven didn't either. And when he was asked at the end of his life why he didn't kill himself, because he had a lot of trouble, a lot of challenges, terrible family life and a brutalizing father and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, he said that he realized that it wasn't time to leave until you've given everything that you have. And so I am here today on the Dan and Stugat show to give everything that I have. And we're using the platform of Bike for Humanity.
We need a little and more. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please continue.
At this time, we have changed the beneficiaries. Because it's a free event. It's free to sign up, free to participate. You go to bikeforhumanity.com, spell it all out. But this time we are focused on an organization, national organization, run by Brother Terry Esau. She's constantly shadow boxing the apocalypse, but he runs free bikes for kids. And what he does is he goes out and he collects all the bikes that nobody's using anymore, and he rehabs them, and then he gives them away to all the children who don't have a bike. And then we're also supporting No Kid Hungry. It is staggering. Guys, we are the richest country in the history of the world. And there is enough food, but there are countless millions of children who do not know where their next meal is coming from. And so we are, that is unacceptable to us. And so we're supporting No Kid Hungry. Also, the Rex Foundation, who for 37 years has been doing all kinds of fantastic work. Stugatz can talk about the Rex Foundation. And then the Boys and Girls Club, where literally everybody that I know that ever made it into the NBA started in the Boys and Girls Club. And it's just a fantastic organization that provides the platform, shelter from the storm, and all the different things that allow people to build their lives, to create their dreams, and be a part of something special. Because we're about health, hope, community, and service. Bike for Humanity.
What does it mean to shadow box the apocalypse?
Well, when you're up against it, as we are right now, you know, we have five simultaneous crises right now going on. And when it can seem overwhelming, you have to find a way to move through it, to move beyond it, and to get to a better space. And so as we do shadow box the apocalypse up against it, we are looking at COVID-19, the economic collapse, the social justice awakening, which is long overdue, and I'm in full support of that, and then the climate change and the species extinction threats that we're facing on a daily basis, which is continuing to get worse. And so we are working on all of these fronts on a constant basis. Dan, I've never been busier, and I'm trying my best to not mistake activity for achievement, and trying to be productive as can be, and try to do as much as I can to help ease the pain and lift the burden of the people who can't do anything out there, because my health remains very good, very solid and strong. Our 6 children and 14 grandchildren are doing awesome out there, and ESPN is doing its job in with the bubble and with the baseball starting up and all the different live sports that are trying to make that world come back, because that is my world. I live for the live events, and just think of all the things that have been shut down. Live events are the first to go and the last to come back. But we're working feverishly and tirelessly on all of that stuff. And it's critically important that you have to embrace the uncertainty. That's the nature of the entrepreneurial life that we've all chosen here. But also to understand that while this is going to take everything that we have and probably more, you cannot finish anything until we start. And so we're underway. Baseball is underway. Basketball is underway. Now we just have to keep making the constant adjustments that you make during the course of the battle to make things better. And that's the fight that I want to be in, and I want to be on the right side of history.
Bill was he was taking lyrics from a song called My Brother Esau, a great Grateful Dead song, and Bill weaved that into the conversation, shadowboxing the apocalypse. I'm wondering, Bill, there are a lot of important things to address, and you are certainly addressing them and pitching in and doing your part, but live music and live musical events are such a big part of your life, especially in the summer, same for me, and I've seen you at Dead concerts. How are you moving here? How are you living here without live music? Because I know few people, Bill, where live music, concerts, gatherings mean more to them than they mean to you. So how are you proceeding here without having live music, live concerts in your life?
All of that stuff is part of who I am. And I go to the concerts. There was supposed to be a Dead show in Michigan tonight. I would have been there. Yep. Then on to Chicago at Wrigley Field for the big weekend, as they always do, before going to Cleveland and Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then to New Jersey, Saratoga, Washington, D.C., and up to Boston, and just all these different places that we'd be going right now. But the reason I go, I go to learn, I go to be inspired, I go to be healed, I go to gain confidence, I go to be with my friends and family, and I go to learn. And so that's not happening right now. So I have learned over the course of my life, and I've learned this the hard way, is that I have to have music going in my life all the time. While I do listen and love the sounds of nature, the book that I'm just finishing up right now, The Overstory by Richard Power, is an incredibly important and inspirational book about the fight to preserve the nature, and another incredible book, The World Without Us by Alan Weisman. But I have to try to create that culture, the world that I want to be in. And all the NBA guys right now, they're down in that bubble. And so they're challenged with how to create the space that allows them to be productive, that allows them to be creative. And so one of the things that I do is I just always have the music going. And even when I'm practicing the drums, even when I'm practicing the piano, I'll have something else on that's just playing, because you never know in your lives where the light is going to come from.
What?
And you learn that once in a while you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right.
Yes.
And so so as we think about the ability to provide a free bike for a child, to get a meal for a kid who's hungry, to support the indigenous people who are fighting with everything they have just for their survival, or the Boys and Girls Club, where they're able to create a place where people can go. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. You know, a couple of songs that have been popping up today, besides Waiting for a Miracle, Brother Esau, is Waiting for a Miracle and Shelter from the Storm. And those two songs encapsulate just a lot of the things that we're working on. And the amazing thing about my shuffle knows where I need to go.
Bikes for Humanity 2. I got to cut you off because we're out of time, unfortunately. Just, Bill, I need a short answer to this because we are out of time. Yeah. What is the best sound in nature? The best sound, according to Bill Walton, we only have a couple of seconds. One sound in nature.
Silence. the sounds of silence.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it.
The quiet, and the best place for that is Death Valley. The best place for the quiet is Death Valley. We love you guys. Thanks for having us.
BikeForHumanity.com. Bike for Humanity 2 takes place this Saturday, July 25th. If you want more information, BikeForHumanity.com.